Bengals on top, and to a lot they in the underdog slot. But the fact is they're the champs of the AFC North. A playoff perfect.
Hey, how you guys doing? It's produced from Brothers Comics. Welcome to the Who Day Over 40 podcast for long time, long suffering Cincinnati Bengals fans. Who day, everybody? It's a rejoiceful day today, I guess. Joe Burrow has made his way back into Cincinnati, back to the OTAs for the organized team activities. We're going to talk about that today. He gives his first press conference really since before the injury, I guess, you know, as he hasn't really talked in the offseason, and he didn't talk when he was injured because he wasn't playing. Pat Riley didn't have to tell him that heat inside joke. All right. So we're going to get to that. There's a little bit of Bengals news to get to before that. But yeah, this is a rejoiceful day as he returns to practice. He had a lot of things to say in his, you know, 15 or minute so press conference, and we'll talk a little bit about the highlights from there, because I think there are some things that are important moving forward, and we might need to set the expectations for fans as we begin to move forward too, because again, fan is for fanatic, and a lot of times people will read into things that aren't there and sometimes won't read into things that are actually sitting in front of them, but they don't want to actually deal with it. But we'll get into it. Let's do it. Before we get into Joe Burrow, Tyler Boyd signs with the Titans today officially. He had had visits, I think, with the Chargers and the Titans, winds up going with Callahan down to Tennessee. Joins a fairly crowded wide receiver room, but definitely brings a little bit of a veteran presence. Can come in, play the slot immediately. Obviously, will be familiar with the offense above everybody else there, and can maybe become a security blanket for Will leaving or Levy. Good to see him catch on with another team. Sad to see him go. He provided, you know, a lot of leadership in some thin times for the Cincinnati Bengals, but they were ready to move on. It looked like he was ready to move on. Everybody, I think, a little bit surprised that he didn't wind up in Pittsburgh. But good to not have to see him two times a year, and, you know, be kind of rooting for Tennessee in the weeks that they're not playing Cincinnati. And, you know, hopefully he does well down there, and Callahan does a little bit, you know, well for the Titans as well. So let's go. I don't have the slide here, but Marcus Bailey did sign with the Arizona Cardinals, a linebacker from the Bengals. He's been here, I think, 4 years, signs with the Cardinals on a 2-year deal. He's primarily a special teamer with the Bengals, although he did have some significant snaps in the playoffs a couple of years ago. But yeah, he signs there. The Bengals really do need to upgrade at linebacker anyway. It's not taking a shot at Marcus Bailey or anything like that, but they could probably stand to get a little bit younger there, a little quicker, and especially on rundowns, to have somebody that's a little bit more stout against the run. And you'd have to look at the unrestricted free agents that they signed to see if they have somebody that could fill that spot. But there's definitely a spot open in the linebacker room before you get ahead to training camp. All right. State of the Bengals here. And before we jump into Joe Burrow, and I know that's why most of y'all are listening to this, I do want to talk about idiotic reporting and the internet really fast. So if you're on YouTube, you can see the person's name. I'm not going to name check him on here because I don't want to give him any additional play. You know, there was an idiotic reporter, air quotation, that reported this thing about Joe Burrow a couple days ago, really before Burrow showed up to practice, that, you know, his Bengals source, air quotation, had told him that Joe Burrow was in L.A. and it wasn't a ligament injury that he had in his wrist, that he had to have a bone essentially reattached and his arm would never be the same again and all of this stuff. And this is, it got community noted on Twitter, you know, because it was engagement, you know, clickbait, you know, to try to get people to engage with it so he could earn money off those tweets. And then the people eventually called him out on it, and he never deleted it though. And that's what I'm saying. Like, the internet is such a terrible place at times. And, you know, people can, it's Twitter, especially now since Elmo bought it, that it's, people can just say things, it gets community noted, but it still stays up. Nothing gets deleted. There's no shame. People just leave stuff up because they want to. And I swear they have, you know, engagement kinks or shame kinks, or people to come at them and call them every sort of name up under the sun and engage with that for their level of attention and not. So this comes out right before Joe Burrow actually shows up to practice, you know, and obviously he got run for doing it. And I'm sure this was a scheduled thing for Joe Burrow. It's not a response to this idiot posting this thing, but it is kind of ironic that Joe Burrow does show up to practice on Monday. You know, comes in early in the morning. He's wearing his UFC 300 shirt. His fit, not great, but that's okay. We'll allow it. But I don't think we had any idea of what was going to happen when he showed up. You know, he could have just been there for treatment. He could have been there just to check in with the coaches. You know, like, I don't really know. And then I was at work and just kind of scrolling through Twitter, and I seen the videos of him walking out onto the field. So I text up the Goat Killer. I'm like, yo, have you seen what's going on? And he didn't know. You know, Joe Burrow's out on the field throwing. We didn't expect that. We're not in the field. They're in the bubble. He's out there throwing. Wasn't expecting that. You know, you can tell. And again, if you're on YouTube, you can see some of the pictures. He's noticeably bigger, like in the upper body. His arms are much bigger. He needs to go to get a haircut. His fade is definitely not fading right now, but noticeably bigger. Obviously wearing that protective sleeve on the surgically repaired arm / wrist, but he comes out on day one throwing. And if you listen to the after interviews there with Trent Irwin and Andre Yosivas, you know, they said he was pushing it down the field. You know, I think the quotation was whatever he did worked. You know, they said they still had some zip on the ball. And I don't think we were thinking he was going to throw on day one, but he did. And so obviously, you know, Bengals Twitter rejoiced. You know, they're very happy to see him out there. You know, all of the negative things that came out from that idiotic reporter, because people do believe what they read on the internet. And I think that was a good calming measure for a lot of Bengals fans just to see him go out there and play. And then it comes out, you know, that he was going to have the press conference today, and that was supposed to be around noon. You know, I tweeted it out. You know, I'm sitting there at work, working, air quotations, waiting for this thing to start. You know, and I'm looking at the press conference thing on Bengals.com. And it's like, oh, 400 people are waiting. And then I come back maybe 10 minutes later. It's like 4,000 people are waiting for this to start or watching. And then a few minutes later, 6,000 people. So everybody was anticipating or was very excited about what he was going to say. And so I'll say it right now as we're getting into this. He did not look happy. And I'm not sure if that's the proper word there. He didn't look like he wanted to do the press conference. I think he had to, but I don't know necessarily that he wanted to. But I think he needed to go out there. He was wanting to go out there at least to get some of these initial questions out of the way, because what's going to happen essentially until we get up to game week is they're going to be asking him the same questions about his wrist. So I think to get out in front of it, you know, he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to have to answer those questions, but at least jumping in front of it now, he doesn't have to answer so many of them later on, even though every time he goes out to throw, the first question is going to be, so how did it feel? How's it feel? How does your wrist? How's it feel? And so that's the first question. Again, if you're on YouTube, you can see it. Question, how does it feel? And his quote, it felt good the last 2 days. I don't ever really know how it's going to feel until I wake up the next morning, but he was encouraged. Sometimes it's going to hurt, but we'll be smart about it. And he's going to not talk about the pain level. He'll keep it to himself. And his self means to like him and the trainers. You know, he said in the conference, he's not going to be, you know, hiding anything from them if it's not feeling right or whatever. And I think that's the first step that I think people need to recognize. So if you've ever recovered from any sort, well, let's back up. Some of y'all never played sports before. If you played sports and you had an injury, the recovery process of that is something that it doesn't automatically feel better right away, even after a surgery or after a treatment or anything like that. It's a work in progress. So he's been a work in progress since the injury happened, but the treatment, the throwing, all of that's going to continue going on. And yes, there is pain in that. We're probably past the stage for him where he's going to have like a setback. We're like, oh, wow, we got to shut him down for weeks and days or something like that. But he's definitely in that point where it's like, all right, I threw for 3 days and I'm going to take a day off and then we'll get back into it. So like, if that's one of those things, like you freaked out when he said that, take a chill pill, calm down, go outside, touch grass, smoke some grass, do something. But you don't really need to like overreact to that particular answer to that question. I think he is fully aware of what is going on. He talked about that there's not a lot of people that have actually had this injury in terms of quarterbacks, that he couldn't find any. There's only like some offensive linemen that did that, and they don't use their wrist the same way that a quarterback does. So, you know, there's obviously going to be that. But you know he went to the best doctors. He didn't use the Bengals doctors. He don't have an HMO or a PPO. He went to a certified board surgeon or whatever to have this, and he's getting the best treatment that money could buy. And if, I think if there was some issue with that, it would have come up by now. So don't freak out on that one. Let's look at the next highlight. How he's throwing the ball. Again, if you read Yoshi Voss and Trent Irwin, like, man, there's nothing really changed. But Joe Burrow is probably his biggest critic. And he said, you know, he's working through it. Consistency is not where he wanted to be. Some flashes, driving the ball and to throw out and working on his footwork. Something that he was saying, and that's not on the quote here, is that at practice, or he's been throwing for a month. And so dropping back, throwing the ball straight, yeah, that's nothing. But what he's wasn't able to work on was the off script stuff. And Joe Burrow not being off script is not the same quarterback. He would be a good drop back passer, but he makes a lot of his money and his throws getting out of the pocket and doing things with the ball outside the pocket. And so that's something that he hasn't been able to work on. He even said, like, yeah, I can work on my footwork getting out of the pocket and working out and getting stronger. His calves look much bigger than they did last year too. But, he wasn't able to throw. So now he's getting back into that and trying to work through that process off script. And I think that's very important for him. But yeah, so just consistency. And it'll be interesting to see if he throws tomorrow, since he threw 2 days in a row. The rookie mini camp, I believe, starts on the 10th. So the rookies will be in, get a chance for him to meet those dudes and, throw to Jermaine Burton, I guess, would be the biggest thing. You know, again, if you look at the videos that were posted on Bengals.com, you see him having conversations with Mike Gesicki, you know, about, I would assume, routes and how he likes those routes to be run, all of those things. So, I mean, we're in full offseason mode here in May, and, you know, it's just, you know, trying to build some chemistry with these new weapons. And speaking of those new weapons, he talked about that. You know, he felt good about the people they brought in offensively and defensively, brought in some players that they played against defensively. And, you know, the offensive players that they brought in, they feel good about it. And, you know, of course, that's what he's going to say. You know, he's not going to be like, yeah, well, you know, I wanted Justin Jefferson. They didn't do it. You know, he's, you know, going to be pumping up the guys that he has that are there. Obviously, noticeably, there are some people that aren't there at this OTA, and we'll talk about that in a second, too. But he's, you know, happy with the people that are there that the Bengals brought in. And that's a good thing, you know, that they brought in some weapons to try to get more explosive. You know, again, the reason that Tyler Boyd isn't here is that they wanted to be a more explosive offense. The reason Joe Mixon isn't here is that they wanted to be more explosive on offense. And that all starts with number 9 and him being happy with the people that they brought in to make the offense a little bit more explosive. The other question that he answered that's related to that, about what happened last offseason. Now, obviously, everybody knows that things went to south early when he hurt his calf, but that wasn't the only problem. If you go back, the defense was not very good. There were all kinds of issues of consistency on both sides of the ball, but probably more noticeably on defense. And then once he came back and he started to feel healthy again, he gets hurt. And or the defense was still struggling. And so that's the thing. He's like, they just weren't good enough. And he recognized that they weren't good enough to win. Like, even if he had been healthy, they weren't good enough to win. And that's something that's going to need to be changed, obviously, for this year, for them to get consistency on both sides of the ball. You know, he did have a quote in there. He's like, you know, about the Chiefs trying to go, you know, back to back to back, you know. Again, we're bringing up Pat Riley with the three-peat, and it says trademarked by Pat Riley. Like, he's like, we hope we're to be the ones to knock him off, you know, and that's really the goal. You know, to beat a man, you got to beat the man. And, you know, he has a 2-1 record against Patrick Mahomes. So 3-1, excuse me, record against Patrick Mahomes. So he has this opportunity, and the Bengals have this opportunity in this window to get that done. And, you know, I think that is his focus. And I think, again, from the tone of his press conference, he just seemed like focused, man on a mission, just, you know, kind of disturbed by having to do this. And, you know, hopefully that's an attitude he carries into the season and he can stay healthy and execute whatever plan that he's trying to get done. And then the last part, the trade request from T. Higgins and Trey Hendrickson. Okay, so I was talking to Goat to Killer about this before we started recording. The players understand that this is a business, and this is essentially what Joe Burrow says. The fans don't. They're like, man, you get a chance to play a game for millions of dollars. It should be, you know, you should play for no – I would go out there and play for no money or whatever. Well, they're lying, because if you had the opportunities to earn $10 million or $20 million, you're going to do everything you can to earn $20 million, okay? So the players know that this is a business. And Joe Burrow flat out said it, like, look, this is a business. I hope they're here. When they do come in, if they do come in, that it's back to business and we get straight to it. They're both good locker room guys. We support them in any way, in every way, shape, or form. That's how it's going to be. Like, the players know this is a business. They aren't going to be getting, as the phrase goes, looking in somebody else's pocket. Because that has nothing to do with you. That has completely to do with them, and you want to support that player. It didn't happen with Jesse Bates when he missed all of training camp and came in late. I don't anticipate T. Higgins showing up until on it's right at the Jesse Bates time, showing up right before training camp ends, the 2 weeks before the season starts. And we'll see about Trey Hendrickson. I'm not 100% sure, but this is not going to be a distraction. It's a distraction for the fans, but it's not a distraction for the players. So just get that out of your mind completely. All right, y'all. So that's really it. Just wanted to kind of hop on here, talk a little bit about Joe Burrow coming back. It's the return of the Mac, y'all. It really is. I hate that song, FYI. So if you think this is going to intro or outro the return of the Mac, it's definitely not going to be that. Hutch is the one that's in charge of exit music. And yeah, I hate that song so, so much. So it ain't coming from me. But that's going to be it, y'all. We're going to be back in a couple of days for that scheduled release. It's always a big day here at the folks for Who Day Over 40. We get our early season predictions in. We were way off last year, to be honest with you. I had the Bengals at 13-4, I believe. And, you know, training camp starts. He strains that calf, and then everything just went south from there. You know, I think they're a playoff team probably if he doesn't get hurt, but they're not a – championship team. That defense was just god awful, and they weren't winning a championship with that defense no matter how many games Joe Burrow had played. So we'll be back to it in a couple of days, get that schedule out, and you know, kind of see what's going on and who they're going to open the season at, when and where. That's going to be a very big opening game, I think, for the Bengals. Hopefully the Bengals get it back at home and get a home game. You know, he's only opened on the road, what, one time? I think that was last year, his first time opening actually, you know, in Cleveland. Every other season he's been at home, so it's probably, chances are he's probably going to be on the road. And, you know, as Goat Killer said, it's not a division game, please. Can we just skip that part against anybody else if you're putting them on the road? But if they get a road game, it's probably going to be a division game. I can kind of see that coming too. So, all right. All right, y'all. So we'll see you in a couple of days. Who day? Have a good one, y'all. Peace.